Blog Talk Radio.
Just going to see how that goes and see where it goes from here. You know, hopefully they got him. They got him in Cleveland. So, yeah, I had to truck on up to Cleveland.
I think I figured out the mic issue. I think I had it up way too high. I lowered it a lot.
You sound great, by the way. Yeah, it sounds awesome.
Yeah, because I think I had it up too loud, too high. It was picking up too much background noise.
Gotcha.
I think that's what it was. I didn't realize I had it up so fucking high.
Yeah, it sounds good today, though. All right,
thanks.
You ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news in the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorton, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today, and if you want to call and ask questions, 323-870-3857. Let's get it started here. Showtime. Janibek Alemkanouli versus Vincenzo Gualtieri. The WBO and IBF unification middleweight titles on the line. Alemkanouli demolished Gualtieri in 6 rounds. Janibek, I'll tell you what, man, Janibek hits hard. He hit him with some shots that didn't look like, big punches, but the placement, you know, right on top of the head, right on the temple, you know, those shots he places, it's perfect, man. He's got great power, good accuracy. I tell you, he's a problem for anyone in that division. You know, is he the best one in there? I don't know, but he's a problem. Steve, what were your thoughts on this?
I think he's another one of those guys like Golovkin, where he just puts that pressure on you and he just wears you down. But Golovkin could fight on the inside, and he could fight at range. And Janibek is very similar to that. He's versatile like that. Like, he can hurt you from the outside, and when he gets inside, he just rips the hell out of your body, changes levels very well. He just blankets people with pressure. So I think he's a very dangerous fighter. He's very precise with the shots. Places the shots well, puts the shots together well. And because he's always changing levels, because he's, you know, no matter where he hits you, he moves you and knocks you off balance, he's going to force those openings. And if he's able to push you back and you're off balance like that, he's forcing you on the defensive all night, then that's going to be a long night for you. And he's that strong, that powerful, and he's just that sharp and precise with those shots. That, you know, he's going to be a problem for anybody. I would argue he's the best middleweight in the world right now, even though the division is not the greatest. But I think he kind of separates himself from the rest of these guys. I mean, what do you got? Arislandi Lara's got the WBA title, with all due respect. Ain't no way Arislandi Lara's beating Janibek. Chris Eubank Jr. wants to fight Janibek. I don't know, man. He ain't no Liam Smith.
Yeah,
you know?
that ain't going to go well. That guy's not to play around with, man.
Yeah, he's not to play around with.
You know, to me, is Charlo still he's the WBC champion. I mean, he's been fighting 2 years. Is he?
Yeah, yes.
At some point, I think he'll come back. But, you know, after 2 years, man, that's a long time, babe. And only certain people have really been able to do that. I mean, you know, you think about, like, say, Sugar Ray Leonard, who came back and was able to fight high-level fights, but typically just one at a time. It was never a consecutive, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure that he's going to be able to do that.
Here's a conversation I had with Maestro, because I was running down the list of guys that took a long period of time off and came back and were able to be successful and win big fights.
Yeah.
And Maestro replied to me, yeah. He goes, yeah, but there's one difference. Those guys were all-time greats.
Yeah.
Jermall Charlo was not. And it's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, and again, I'm not dumping on the guy, but he's not a Sugar Ray Leonard, you know?
He's not a Floyd Mayweather who took some time off and came back.
Yeah, he's not a Floyd Mayweather. You know, he's not those guys that can take the time off and come back. He's not.
Yeah. I don't think so either. So, you know, I think if I were Janibek, you know, he's got to look for, you know, unifications. He's got to look for other stuff, but He's right now, I think he might be the guy in middleweight.
Yeah, he's the guy.
He's just, you know.
He's definitely the guy.
Let's talk about Keyshawn Davis. He was on the undercard here. Keyshawn Davis versus Nair Albright. And Keyshawn Davis scores a majority decision here. Scores were 95-95, 96-94, and 97-93. You know, I didn't score this fight, B, but I didn't think this was that close at all. I was really surprised when they read the scores. I know ESPN, I think they had it 8-2. How did you score the fight, or did you see it that close? I didn't see it
I'm going to be honest. I didn't score it because I thought it was going to be one-sided.
Yeah, I thought it was one-sided.
Yeah, I just think that, I don't know, man, like, I have this conversation with D-Style all the time. When you expect something going in, I think even judges have expectations going in, because guys have reputations. Keyshawn Davis is considered like a very explosive, dynamic guy, right? And, you know, he was supposed to, you know, blow this guy out of there, right? And it didn't happen. So sometimes when a fight doesn't go the way someone expects it to go, or you expect someone to fight in a style that you're normally used to see them fight in, and then they don't fight that way, it's almost like as a judge you're looking at that fighter and you're like, well, something's wrong. He's not fighting the way he normally fights, and I'm not used to seeing that. Subconsciously, you may be saying he's not as effective as he normally would be, right?
Yeah.
It's like with Devin Haney against Lomachenko. We weren't normally used to seeing him fight on the inside, and we had what we thought he was going to do going in, right? What we expected he was going to do going in. We thought he was going to box Lomachenko from the outside, pot shot him from the outside, and get off first, and be able to, you know, have Lomachenko be at the end of his jab, and he wouldn't be able to get close to him. But he went right in the pocket with Lomachenko, and he was able to do some good body work in there. And because people weren't used to seeing him doing that, they weren't. I don't think people were like giving him the credit for landing those body shots, because that's not what they expected from him, even though he was successful doing it. So this could be the thing with Keyshawn, you know, Keyshawn Davis, where you're used to seeing him just dominate guys, knocking them from pillar to post,
yeah.
And that wasn't happening. So again, when someone is supposed to get blown out of there and they don't get blown out of there, subconsciously, I think the guy gets extra credit for not getting beat up.
Right.
Right?
And it shouldn't be.
It's just a subconscious thing. You know, we're going to get into one fight that I think that happened a little bit, particularly on the zone when we get to that fight. And I think if the broadcasters were guilty of that, the way they reacted to the decision of that fight. So we're going to save that one for later.
We're not talking about the DAZN fight, are we? We're not talking about.
I mean, that was a great.
We're not talking about the card, are we? That's not the fight we're referring to, are we? Come on, man.
I bought that card, and I don't have one bit of buyer's remorse. Not one
BS. I will tell you that right now. Nonsense.
And we're going to save it because I got
to watch it. Yeah, we'll save it. Richard Torres, USA silver medalist, won via second round TKO over Tyrell Herndon. He looks good. He looks good. He's developing. It's tough to say how good he really is, though. And who's the guy, who's the one heavyweight that came out of there that beat Torres? He got the gold medal. What is that guy's name? He always slips my mind, man. I know Montero would know, but I can't remember.
Cuban, is a Cuban guy that beat him?
No. Some guy, European dude. But
okay.
That guy's undefeated right now, and he's like a knockout machine. He's really, really good.
Not Hergovich. Jalilov.
That's it. Jalilov.
I always forget that guy.
Thank you. I am your leader. Thank you.
Jalilov,
yeah.
That guy's name.
Oh, yeah.
They posted it in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always forget that guy's name, Jalilov.
I love our chat, man. They're always on it. But that guy, yeah, that's the guy I want to see more of. I wish they put him on TV a little bit more, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Australia. Tim Zhu versus Brian Mendoza for the WBO junior middleweight title. Tim Zhu beats Mendoza by the scores of 116-111, 116-112, and 117-111. Good performance by Tim Zhu. Is Charlo next? I don't know. Charlo is the undisputed champion. Well, he's got Zhu is the WBO champion. Charlo's got the other three belts. You think that fight's going to come off?
I just have a feeling, given Charlo's history,
mm-hmm.
this guy's going to Disneyland and he ain't coming back for a while.
I think
that's just my opinion.
That Canelo fight, I'll tell you what, I think that Canelo fight took a lot out of him. I really do. And
mentally.
I think mentally it took a lot out of him because he was like big brothered in there for the entire fight. It wasn't good. And he didn't really put up that much of a struggle in there. So, yeah, man, that's tough. That is tough.
It is tough.
Somebody said they had the Tim Tszyu fight a draw. Did you score it that way, Beav?
I had it 8-4.
Yeah.
116, 112.
That's about right.
I thought it was a clear victory. I could see it even 9-3 if you really want to get technical. I mean, some of those early rounds were kind of close. But I think after the fourth round, definitely after the sixth, but after the fourth round, you could start going into the fifth. You could start seeing a little bit of separation. Here's what I thought about the fight. Because Tim Tszyu's not a big volume guy. Brian Mendoza kind of can be he's kind of a moderate guy in terms of activity. But Tim Tszyu's never been really like a volume machine with his punch output.
Yeah.
But one thing I noticed, I think both guys early on kind of respected each other's power. And I thought that the first four rounds, they were really trying to gauge each other a lot. And they were showing each other a lot of respect. And Brian Mendoza moved a lot more than he normally does. And I think Tim Tszyu had to kind of adjust to that because I don't think he was expecting that. And then as the fight kind of wore on, Tim Tszyu still wasn't really throwing a ton of punches, but he was stepping in with his jab a little bit more. He was picking up the pace just a little bit, just enough where, you know, he could put some stuff together. He wasn't going to the body a lot, but he was starting to jab to the body. You know, he was starting to unleash that right hand because once he started getting a feel for the fight, realizing that, guess what, this guy's not going to come to me. I'm going to have to come to him. Then he started changing up the strategy a little bit where he had to cut off the ring and he had to be the hunter in this fight. Whereas he thought that they, you know, probably I would guess that he thought that they would both meet each other in the center of the ring and they were going to duke it out. That wasn't the case. Brian Mendoza kept trying to circle him, kept trying to turn him. And he was just very, he was boxing more. He wasn't really throwing a ton of power shots himself. He was working behind his jab. And he was trying to keep this fight at a distance. He was trying to stick and move a little bit here. And, you know, he couldn't do that for long because once Tim Tszyu realized that, hey, I got to step on the gas a little bit here, then, you know, Tim Tszyu was starting to hurt him with the uppercuts, starting to hurt him with body shots, landed some good right hands and some good left hooks. I mean, he was hitting with everything, you know. But it just wasn't, that Tim Tszyu that we saw in his last couple of fights where he was more aggressive in his other fights than this fight. And again, I think that goes down to knowing that Mendoza can crack a little bit.
Right. That's so what I'm going to say. I mean, you know, you're not going to
get
a knockout at this level every time out. I mean, you guys, you know, it's not like Mendoza sucks. I mean, this is a quality fighter in front of him, you know, so it stands to reason it would be a little tough. You know, he'd get some resistance there. So what is next for Tim Tszyu? What do you think is next for him?
Still try to get a Charlo fight, but that may not happen.
I think those titles are going to get fractured, and I think he's going to go pick one of those up.
Yeah.
I think he's going to go after it, but I think he's going to pick one of those.
I mean, it's kind of tough to see what happens next, because I don't think Charlo's going to come down there. It's a tough one, man. I don't know. Maybe Sebastian Fondora, maybe? There's another PBC guy, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
You know?
Tony Pugilist Boy said that Charlo came out of the Canelo fight with a lot to look forward to. I kind of agree with this. Because for him, it was kind of a no-lose situation if he put on a good performance. But he didn't put on a good performance. He put on a bad performance. He put on a lousy performance. He put on a... You know, he ran. I mean, that was just it. You know, I mean, he was just completely outmanned, outgunned in there. It was just like, you got to be kidding me, man. So I believe he does, but I do think he has big fights on the horizon. The Tim Tszyu fight, though, not really a big fight for him, right?
For Charlie?
Yeah. No, I don't think it's that big a fight. It could be in Australia.
I mean, Well, if he does go back down to 154, like what other, I mean, maybe the Crawford fight, but a lot of people don't like.
They don't even want the Crawford
fight. I don't know, can you sell a Crawford fight? Yeah, because after what happened in the Canelo fight, so Tim Tszyu, a lot of people are saying, well, he has to fight, he should fight Tim Tszyu and try to get a victory over Tim Tszyu before he even thinks of going, you know, up against Crawford. But now they're saying that the Crawford rematch with Spence is going to be, like, I think in February now they're saying. That's the rumor.
Uh-huh.
And I cringe every time I think of that rematch. I cringe. I just don't want to see that.
That was bad. That was really bad. You know, and that's one of those, you know, it was so one-sided.
You know what could be another good fight for Tim Tszyu? Is Erickson Lubin coming off of a victory. I don't think he won the fight, but it was close.
Listen, I don't hate that fight. I don't hate
that's
that
a good
fight.
One.
I think that's a good one. I think
Erickson
getting
Lubin?
Some names and getting his name out here, especially with the U.S. audience, you know, I think will do him wonders.
Well, he did say that that was his last fight in Australia for a little while. He wants to come in and you know, string a couple fights together here in the United States, preferably Vegas. He wants to kind of make Vegas his base. So that's good. Good for us anyways, right?
This is interesting. This is interesting from Team Batman. Imagine Spence wins the rematch. Very unlikely, but what then? That's a very good point.
Well, I'm going to say something very blunt with all due respect to you, Team Batman, Foxen. I can't imagine that happening. I can't even in my wildest dreams imagine that happening. I woke up in Bizarro World. I couldn't even imagine that happening. If I got shot into the quantum realm, if Thanos snapped his fingers and I disintegrated and went into the 13th realm, I could not imagine that happening. I'm sorry. No, I can't imagine that happening.
I got to be honest. I can't imagine it happening either. But, hey, crazy thing. Listen, man, when you put gloves on and you're throwing punches at each other, anything can happen. Anything can happen.
I had a chance to see Robbie having sex with Asia Carrera. That ain't going to happen
it.
Either.
What's the matter with
that
you?
That was so
she's
bad.
She's like 90 years old.
Make,
like, she's
why did you
like 90
make
years
say
old
that?
Now. She's why like,
did
why would you bring
say
her
that?
Up?
Why did you text that to me and tell me to say that to Robbie?
She is like
why?
90 years old now. Why are you? Speaking of 90-year-olds, you hear Suzanne Summers passed away today? She was 76 or something like that, man.
It's a shame.
She still looked good at 76. Did you see her or whatever?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Plastic surgery, all that stuff, man. I don't care.
A lot of these people look great, but they, you know, can't always judge the book by its cover. It's sad.
Who's Tara Patrick?
Oh, she's nice, too. Yeah, she's another porn star. I love her.
Is she like an 80s porn star like Asia Carrera?
No, she's a 90s. She's a 90s porn star. Robbie just texted me. You know what he said to me? You read this text.
I've never slept with Asia Carrera. What are you talking about, Beeb?
I'm such an asshole. I'm going to read over to you. Good God, I can't believe you said that. You said crap like that, Joe. Too fucking bad. Get used to it. This ain't romp room over here, man.
Oh, Lord. Lord. All right. Steve, it's that time. Time, we have to talk about it. The big elephant in the room. The DAZN card.
Great card, man.
How much did you pay for that card, Beeb?
$55. Worth every penny of it.
Beeb likes old porn stars.
I like the 90s porn.
Yeah, but like, yeah, but now they're all old, though. Did any of them like look good, or they still look like shot out, or what? I mean, like,
oh, they
like
still look good
now.
They still look good. They still look good. Come on. You get older, your taste changes a little bit. You know, you're a little bit more accepting of age.
All right.
Sure.
Yeah.
When you get older, you don't mind banging. You don't mind banging fives and sixes. Right? It's not a bad.
And at 10, I had, what do you say, 5 good twos or something like that, you know? Pocket sense cougars only.
That was a good, I'm going to be honest with you. I've always said this, when you take people that aren't at the highest level, but they're on equal level, right? You match people up evenly, makes for a good fight. And there was some good fights on that card. Even though these guys, I'll be honest with you, these guys were better. Like when I bought this card, right? I bought it because of Tommy Fury and Dillian Dennis and Logan Paul, all that. Because I bought into the hype. You know how I am. I'm very gullible. I'm naive, right?
Let me jump in real quick here. I got to be honest. I almost bought it. Me and Antonio were in the living room and we're watching that press conference where hit him with the microphone or whatever.
Yeah.
Cut him and everything.
Black guy, dude.
I was like, we got to check it out. And day comes and I'm like, we're getting ready to buy it. I looked it up. It was like $60. I was like, come on, man. I was like, I'd rather watch a UFC card next week. That's going to be good.
Is that good, that card?
That card's really good, yeah. They got Kamaru Usman and Cosmat Shimania fighting.
Okay.
That's going to be good. And that's not even the main event. The main event is Volkanovski and what's his face? The guy from who is that guy? Come on, guys, help me out here. I can't remember, but it's good. It's good. Trust me.
So I thought the undercard was really good. I thought those fights were entertaining. They were competitive.
Who were some of the fighters on the undercard, Beeb?
There was my man Nate was one of the guys.
Yeah, my man Nate.
And there was who else was there? There was Salt Poppy.
Salt Poppy, another big name.
Yeah.
Who else?
He was part. Yeah, I don't know all these guys because this is the first time I ever bought one of these types of events. So,
stop it.
I don't want to lie to you and tell you I know. I mean, I'm not a Misfits guy.
Look, nobody's a Misfits guy. All right. I didn't know any of these guys. We caught it on TikTok and all that other stuff. But the undercard, I didn't see any of the undercard because I saw there was like four fights. I didn't know any of these guys. And I'm like, I'm done. I can't.
So the guy, my mate Nate, I learned he's from Thailand. He's from Thailand, right? He's a guy. I think he's an American guy. Lives in Thailand, right? And he was pretty good. I thought he boxed good, right? And saw Poppy came out winning. He won the first three rounds. Then he ended up getting knocked out, man. What a beautiful! It was a crazy knockout.
Yeah, right.
So I thought those fights were good. The main event and the co-main event weren't great, but I told everybody he's going to try and choke him out and he's going to get disqualified.
Let's talk about that for a minute. Let's break this fight down. So this was the Logan Paul, Dillian Dennis fight.
Yes.
Dennis came in, a six-round fight, right? Logan Paul came in with a cut over his right eye from where they got a scuffle over there and he hit him with the microphone. Dennis hit him with the microphone at the press conference earlier, a couple days earlier or whatever.
Busting him up, yeah.
So I'm watching this fight, and, Dillian Dennis has got the peekaboo style going on, and he's offering up zero resistance. I mean, zero. Yeah. He didn't throw eight or nine punches the entire fight. He threw nothing the whole fight. Logan Paul didn't do much either. I think Logan Paul looked tired to me after that first round. I think he came in way too aggressive. I think he was irritated about what happened prior to with the microphone and everything. And I think he came out, and I think he had an adrenaline dump probably around the second or third round. I think he was done. I think he was he was just gassing a little bit. So, but he boxed okay. It wasn't, I think he probably could have got that guy out of there if he tried to go to the body and at least give him some angles. When he's turtling up like that, at least give him some angles, and don't move back from him. Go forward. He's not offering you anything. Go forward. Press him. Get him against the ropes. Get him in the corner and then start bombing him,
because
he can leave that turtle shell open, but he can leave that, you give that guy angles. You start going to the body a little bit. You step to the side. He's got different. Now he's got to adjust. And yet now he's going to be just make him uncomfortable. He didn't make him uncomfortable in that fight.
No,
he wasn't. It didn't look like Dennis was uncomfortable at all, because sometimes Dennis would come forward And, you know, Logan would throw some shots, pull back, you know, to see if anything was coming. First two rounds, I understand that. But after the guy is not giving you anything, there's nothing coming back from this guy. Why don't you pressure him? Why didn't this corner tell him to go press this guy, get him out of here? You know, never did. So it comes to the sixth round. Again, the fight was garbage. It was a garbage fight. Nobody,
not a good fight.
Not a good fight at all. Comes to the sixth round, they tie up. Logan trips him. He just gives him one of those trips or whatever. He just grabs him and then, you know, puts his foot behind and just kind of throws him down a little bit, you know. Dennis, I guess, and then once he put him on the ground, Logan punched him, or he went to punch him. You know, I don't think the punch landed. But the other thing is, you know, Dylan, like, threw a kick at him from the ground. I don't know if he's trying to grab him or something like that. They got up, and then security storms the ring for what? I have no idea. I have no idea why.
Oh, because he tried to get him in a did you see him try to get him in a guillotine choke? And then he pushed him out.
When he was on the ground? Is that what happened?
No. He got up after he tried to tackle him, right? He tried to shoot on him, right? And Logan Paul stuffed him. Then he went to try to get him in a guillotine choke, and then Logan Paul's head snapped out of it. How the fuck are you going to get someone in a guillotine choke with gloves on? Because if you do jiu-jitsu, you have to
lock it.
You either have to grab grab the wrist, or you have to lock the hands like this, right? And if you can't do that with a boxing glove on, so what the? But I knew he was going to do it, and I thought it was hilarious that he did it. And it had like that WWE ending to it, like
with all the guys charge the ring. Yeah, so, it's a big schmog, you know.
I thought it was hilarious, to be honest with you. And I think he did all that so he could make a meme out of him. It could be like a meme on TikTok or whatever.
Right.
But one thing is for certain, he will never, ever be allowed to box again. No one's going to put him on a card ever again, because that was just not something that's not the type of performance that's going to encourage other people to want to put you on cards like that.
No. So
No. His celebrity boxing career is pretty much over.
Done, yeah. And, you know, I expected a lot more from Dylan Danis. I mean, you know, he's in good shape. He's a jiu-jitsu guy. You know, he's in good shape. He was a Bellator fighter, trains with all those guys and stuff, and keeps him in, you know, like good sparring for those guys and stuff. He's not elite anymore. I think he was elite at one time, but he's not really that elite anymore. But
he's been out for a while.
But a good fighter, you know, nonetheless, a good MMA fighter, a good jiu-jitsu fighter, yeah. So I expected a lot more from him, and he offered up zero. He looked scared to death in there. He really did.
And I kept telling D-Style, I said he's going to try and choke him out, and he's going to get disqualified. Oh, he's not going to do that. He's not crazy like that.
Yeah.
So the one big question I asked him, though, is, do they hold up his purse? Does he get paid after all that? That's what I want to know. Do they pay him?
I don't know. I know if it were boxing, they wouldn't. But it wasn't sanctioned. No. It wasn't sanctioned.
Wasn't that these weren't official fights that go on your record?
Who's going to hold it? You know what I mean? Like, who's going to hold it up?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So,
they'll probably pay him.
So let's see here. KSI versus Tommy Fury. This was crazy here, too. So Tommy Fury squeaks by KSI by the scores of 57-56. All three judges had it 57-56. Unanimous decision win. Now at the end of the
one judge added a, I think one judge added a draw.
He did. He had a 56-56. The other two judges had a 57-56. Yeah. But apparently that was a mistake. Apparently I just read today.
I'm sorry.
I just found out too. Yeah. I just found out literally as we're coming on, that it was 57 all that one of the judges had a mistake, and it was changed to unanimous decision for Tommy Fury.
Okay.
You know, Tommy Fury really can't fight. I mean, this was bad. You know, this was really, really bad. The fact that you can make a case for a KSI win here tells you everything you need to know, man.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Both guys are not good. KSI is not good at all. Tommy Fury, I was shocked. I expected a lot more from him, you know, given the fact that, you know, he's supposedly a pro boxer.
Yeah.
I mean, give me a break.
Here's the problem, though. The way those announcers were crying, oh, this was a robbery, this is a robbery. I mean, both of them didn't do great. Like, How do you separate one guy from the other so decisively off of that performance?
It was who sucked less.
That's who won the fight. How is that a robbery? I did have Tommy Fury winning the fight 4-2, but it wasn't like he set the world on fire. I gave KSI the first 2 rounds.
10-8 round, KSI, by the way. 10-8 round in that second round for the point.
Yeah, cause, and that point, and then like he hits him like this, and the ref takes the – it was ridiculous.
Come on.
You know? But after those first, like, the only two decides, like, I thought Tommy clearly won, like, I think the third. And I kind of thought he won the final round. The other two rounds were close. But here's the thing, man. After those first 2 rounds, KSI was dog tired. And he just kept falling in and grabbing Tommy Fury.
And he couldn't do anything with him. Fury could not do anything with him. This is a guy who's Tyson Fury's his brother, John Fury's his father. You got 10 pro fights, and you couldn't do squat. Yeah. Please tell me how that's possible.
And then I saw polls on Twitter, and about 70-80% of the people did think Tommy Fury won. And again, I'm not here to cape for Tommy Fury. I'm not. But the argument that these DAZN commentators are trying to call this a robbery goes back to my point I made earlier in the show.
No, they don't know what they're talking
about. He was supposed to destroy KSI. He doesn't destroy him, so the fight's closer than you expected it to be. So automatically, you give the guy who's a huge underdog extra credit for doing better than when you thought he was going to do. And I fucking hate when people do that, because the judges didn't do that in this fight.
Right.
But to your point, both guys lost.
Could you make a case for KSI winning this fight? I can make a case for KSI winning this fight.
You can, but you could also say that it could have gone either way.
Right. But the thing is, but that's the thing.
They called it a robbery because Tommy won.
Right. It's not a robbery. Not a robbery, okay? But we can make a case that either fighter would have won that fight. I can make a case for KSI. You can make a case for the other. You know, we can both make those cases. The fact that we're sitting here talking about that today is the problem I have with Tommy Fury.
Well, look at me. I mean, no one should hold their standard to me. I mean, look, I'm a fucking don. I'm buying pay-per-views for $55 watching this thing. I mean, if you're looking at me as the standard, I mean, that you got something wrong with you.
What were we all thinking, you know? I did not, like I said, and even Antonio looked at me during this whole thing. He said, man, I'm glad we didn't buy this. I said, right?
Oh, did he say that?
Yeah, he was like, I'm glad we didn't buy this. I said, right? I said, man, this is terrible.
Mario smart, man. I remember when he was so tiny. Now when I see him, he's like big and tall. Like he's
taller than I am. He's a man already. I'm like 5'7". He's like 6 foot. He's like 6 foot already.
But is he like 15 now?
He's 14.
Looks like he's 16.
And he's training. He, you know, he's like lifting weights and stuff like that. But he's training in jiu-jitsu now. And I told you, I was wrestling him not too long ago. And he's a handful. I mean, he's just a handful, man.
Probably wrap me up in a pretzel. I wouldn't want to
wrap me up, I'll tell you that. He's strong, man. He's strong. Let me ask you a question. Do you think Mike Montero beats Tommy Fury?
Yeah.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I do, too. I think he beats him. I really do.
I do.
I think that Tommy Fury's pro is done. I think his professional boxing career is done. I think his misfit boxing career, though, just started. I think it just started because he's got a ton of guys he could fight there. You know, he could fight Jake Paul again. He could fight Logan Paul. He could fight whoever, you know. But I think that Misfits is kind of where he belongs because he doesn't have the skill to compete out, you know.
And let me ask you this. Why would you want to go anywhere else if you're making the money that you can make being a Misfits fighter?
Well,
he's not going to make that.
Listen,
he's not going to make that money.
Right.
Yeah.
He's not going to make any money in the pros versus, you know, Misfits. He's getting paid probably quite a bit of money.
And I'm going to say something else, too. He's a very likable, like, interesting person outside of boxing. Yeah. He was on the show at Home with the Furies. He was on that a lot. That was great. He's got a YouTube channel where he kind of, like, does videos with, like, fitness influencers where he does workout videos with them, does, like, full day of eating and stuff like that. He's a likable, entertaining guy. Like
nice
he's a guy.
Yeah,
that
he seems like a nice guy.
He's a guy that people can resonate to. You know, I actually like the guy. I like him.
Yeah.
I think he's hilarious. I think when he talks trash, during the face off, like the sit down thing they had there, face to face, whatever the hell they call it. He's like, look at you. He goes, look at you. You built like a 10-year-old. It was like hilarious. Like he was just ranking on him and just hilarious stuff.
Why didn't Tommy Fury dating Taylor Swift? We can talk about that, you know.
His girlfriend is very pretty.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen her. Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't wanna make excuses for Tommy Fury, but he did say he hurt his right hand during training. I don't know. I don't know, man. That's still like I don't know, man. I don't want to run interference.
It sounds like you are running interference, though.
Because I'm part of it. You know, I'm really
You're
deep
Team
in
Fury. I get it.
You know, I'm deep entrenched in the Fury family. I'm the president of the Fury Maniacs. So, you know, I know I'm biased a little bit. I fight it. I'm trying to be objective here. But he did say he hurt his right hand in training.
Taylor Swift is average. Do you agree with that, Taylor Swift is average?
Once again, what used to be average 20 years ago is not is like a 7 right now for me. I'm 54 years old, man.
She's a 7. I think she's very pretty. She's pretty though.
Listen, I think she's very pretty. If I had a chance to go on a date with her, I would not say no. Put it that way.
Yeah, I wouldn't say no. Well, I mean, I'm married, obviously. I mean, she's not prettier than my wife, obviously, especially if my wife is listening right now.
Halle Berry's one of my favorites. Asia Carrera is another one.
I'm Dwayne this time. You put Halle Berry in Asia Carrera. You put Halle Berry side by side with a porn star and said, these are my two favorites. So,
you know,
what's the matter with you?
I really like Lily Tai, too. I love her.
Who's Lily Tai?
She's another one. She's a Filipino porn star. I love her.
What's matter with you?
How sick I am! What a low standard I'm setting right now. I'm mentioning porn stars as like girls that I would like that I admire.
That's okay. There's nothing wrong.
What kind of example am I setting for the young men out there?
The high bar.
Listen, don't be like me. Do better. Do better, guys.
Stop it, Matt. For the bead, get it together. All right, let's talk about the upcoming fights, and then we'll go to the phones here. Let's see here what's up. Maybe not here. Second here. All right, there we go. All right, coming up, October 21st. That's Saturday, I believe, isn't it?
Saturday, yeah. That's a Saturday.
On DAZN. What you pay for. By the way, the zone, that card last night was not free. You had to pay for the Misfits boxing. You had to pay for that, by the way. Pay-per-view on the zone. Lovely the zone. So what you're getting free for the zone next weekend, Jack Catterall versus Jorge Linares, 12 rounds, junior welterweights. Aguib Fiaz versus Reese Bellotti, 12 rounds, junior lightweights. Pete McGrail versus Fran Mendoza. Should we go on here? I don't recognize any of these guys. And granted, listen, I don't know a lot of the British-based fighters. I get that.
Be careful, because the UK guys in the chat.
I get it.
Who pay half of what we pay, and they get pay-per-views like Charlo Canelo for free, right? And I think they're going to end up getting – I think everyone else that has the zone, except for people in the UK and the United States, I think they're getting Fury and Gano for free, too, on the zone. That's another thing. So because we pay the most out of any country and we get the least, and we don't know all, like, some of these regional fighters from the UK, then you got the UK guys in the chat, oh, what are you talking about? What's wrong with this?
Listen, that card sucks.
You're paying half of what we're paying. And here's another thing. You know, you have DirecTV, right, still?
Yeah.
You know, like, when DirecTV has, like, the, what is it, the Sunday football ticket, whatever, what's that called? Direct ticket.
I think it's on YouTube now or Apple. I don't know where it is.
They have the NHL season ticket.
Yeah.
And every year, like, they have to negotiate with those people. I talked with Maestro about this. He made a great point. And they raise, and people who really don't buy those packages, they still have to pay for those packages.
Oh, yeah.
Increases in their subscription rate.
Absolutely.
So DAZN's got all these NFL packages for a country, like for all these other countries. They have all these events for other countries, right? Which is a great deal for them, because if you have DAZN and you're able to watch NFL games and you're able to watch Premier League soccer and all this stuff, and it's included in your package, right? That's great for you, but guess who's subsidizing all that? Us, by paying $225.
Yeah,
that's what
absolutely.
Maestro was telling me that this morning. It's a great point.
Yep, I agree. You know, Jack Catterall, Jorge Linares on DAZN next week. That's a fight that if it's on ESPN or anything like that, I may not catch it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm definitely not watching it live.
Yeah.
You're paying for this.
Yeah.
But they do redeem themselves that night. Inglewood, California, on DAZN on the 21st. Alex Rocha versus Giovanni Santillan, 12 rounds welterweights. Yeah, that's it. That's what you're paying for. Are you kidding me? That's the doubleheader. In London, it doesn't have a time or it doesn't have a TV thing here, but Joshua Buatsi versus Dan Aziz. 12 rounds light heavyweights. Mikael Lawal versus Isaac Chamberlain, 12 rounds cruiserweights. I would rather watch that than either one of those DAZN fights.
Yeah.
Say that.
I hope that's on ESPN Plus, because ESPN Top Rank has a deal, kind of works with Sky Sports, and they show some of those fights on ESPN Plus. Well, hopefully that's one of them. We'll see.
Yeah. And then the following week, of course, so the week of the 28th, is the big one from Riyadh. Saudi Arabia, Tyson Fury versus Francis Ngannou, the ESPN pay-per-view. Beebe, is that Saturday or is that a Sunday?
It's going to be a Saturday for us, probably a Sunday for them, based on the time zone.
Okay, because it says the 28th, so okay, I gotcha. I just looked it in. All right. I'm going to buy it because I suck and I'm a loser. And you know what's going to happen. He's not... Have you seen the side by sides of Francis Ngannou and Deontay Wilder?
Yeah.
So they showed them throwing right hands and at the pads and everything like that. And Francis Ngannou is a big, strong guy, and in the UFC, it's a different type of thing. And he knocks people out. I get it.
Yeah.
This is a different game here, man. I cannot stress this enough.
It is.
Francis Ngannou is going to get killed in there. By Tyson Fury. It won't even be close. It won't even be close. I can rip. Besides, it's on ESPN. Notorious says you can't rip DAZN and then buy Fury and Ngannou. I got to. I have to.
Yeah, but ESPN Plus and ESPN have given us the most bang for our buck.
They really have.
In comparison to everybody else.
Yeah. I agree. So yeah, man. All right, let's go to the phones. 530, Robert.
First off, Robert,
you're live.
Hello, guys.
Robert, before you even start, I don't appreciate you calling me during the week, bitching and complaining and talking all that trash about Eric for not being here this week. The guy has vacation time. He can use it, okay?
Yeah. I didn't complain, and congratulations, Eric,
and you stop kicking him over the cold.
That's cold.
Eric, he's making this crap up.
Listen to you.
Okay, I believe you, Robert.
He's making this crap up.
Don't try to walk it back now, you subhuman.
Hey, he expanded the Ringside Reporter portfolio. Leave the guy alone, Give me a break.
Maestro did it. By the way, before you get started, Robert, since we bring that up, Maestro did a great job last week. He really did. I really thank you for stepping in for me and everything like that, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Maestro.
That was awesome. He does a great job. I love Maestro, man. He does a great job.
No, hey,
all
Maestro,
the time.
Maestro was a cool dude,
That ain't what you said either. You said he wasn't as good as Eric. And you were disappointed in the show.
Again, he's making this crap up. I feel like this is a disappointing time in boxing, man. when we have to spend a lot of the show talking about Misfits. I will never buy any Misfits cards. I will never support any
of
this
garbage. You told me you were buying it on Friday. Stop tapping. You bought it.
Joe, you don't know my bank account, but, hey, at least you admit you have an addiction.
He's living large.
I won't be buying the Ngannou Fury card. That's my birthday. I'm going to find better things to do.
What are you doing on your birthday?
I don't have any idea what I'm going to do, but I know I'm not going to buy that.
Is there a lot of strip clubs out your way, Robert?
I got.
Yes,
Eric,
there are.
Eric,
but,
I got better things. I got better things to do, but I don't know what I'm going to do.
No, I don't.
What does that even mean?
I don't have a specific plan yet.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm telling you right now on my birthday what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out to a nice 5-star hotel dinner, right? I'm going to get a nice honey dip that looks like Asia Carrera, and I'm getting a room. That's what
now,
I'm doing.
Hey,
I got it already.
Is she going to be with you in the room, or is that like... Hey. Are you just going to go there by yourself?
Don't even try it.
How much do you usually spend on that stuff? I mean,
Eric, if memory serves, I believe his birthday is December 9th.
Still pretty good. That's still pretty good.
I believe his birthday is December 9th. If that's the case, he's going to be home buying the Regis Progray.
Are you doing background checks on me now? What are you going to do?
I
don't know what my birthday is.
He knew your birthday right off. He's a savant, man.
Yeah.
Robert, when was June 28th, 1973? What day was that?
Oh, I can't come up with that off the top of my head, but, you know, give me a... But, no, he's going to be home that night buying...
He does crazy stuff like that. He does crazy stuff like that.
He's gonna buy the Regis Progray Devin Haney card that night. That's on his birthday. ESPN's gonna have a card that night. That's Heisman night. So he's gonna be watching boxing, man. He's not gonna go anywhere or do anything. Give me a break.
First of all,
Robert, this is what you don't know. When you go to the Ritz-Carlton, they have a smart TV there. I could log into the zone, and I could buy a pay-per-view, and me and the honey dip, I don't want to get it what we're going to do, but towards the end of the night, we can watch the pay-per-view together. So don't even try to throw a monkey wrench in my plan.
How do you normally do this? Right? Do you, like, give her the money first, or, like when you get to the room or whatever, you give her the money, or how does it work?
I'm going to all the finance situations.
Do you give her the money in an envelope, like a G or something like that? Like, you know, or do you just give her, like, cash? Like, you know, you got
to
put it in an envelope, right?
Got
to look classy.
Because I can't divulge all
that. Okay, on to real boxing here. I like, Joe, that was a fantastic idea you came up with. Tim Tszyu and Erickson Lubin. That's a good fight.
Good fight, right?
That's a good fight. That's going to work good for him. And that'll be a nice way for him to establish himself over here in the United States. He's already had one fight over here. That's when he beat Cachet. But if he's going to try to establish himself over here, an Erickson Lubin fight would be a good fight for him. Janabek is going to be the real deal in the middleweight division. No doubt about that. And I like what Davis did last night. So they had that fight, by the way, scored way too close. I had that 7-3. I don't know why anybody would think it was a draw because it was not. Good for Tszyu, good for Janabek, and good for Davis. Good night by all three of them.
There you go. What do you think of Richard Torres, Robert?
We've only seen 6 fights, and he's knocked out, I think, almost everybody he's seen, Eric. I don't know, 6 fights in, whether you increase his level of competition, but maybe that would be the best way to find out what you really have. Because right now, We really don't know.
I think that's
like
the other thing.
So
you know, Yeah, he's going to be accelerated because he came out of the Olympics. I hope they don't want to move him too fast, obviously.
Right.
But I want to see him against some, you know, breathing guys, you know, some guys that, you know, some live bodies, put it that way.
What about, now this may be too soon for him, but what about F.A. Ajogba, since Ajogba is coming off a loss?
Too soon?
Okay.
Too soon, because if he goes in there with Ajogba and he beats Ajogba,
right,
they're gonna push him, I think, too fast.
Okay,
but I think
Ajogba
might be a little bit too soon. It's a big deal.
I'm trying to think of a heavyweight that we could stick him in there with, that we could find out some things, but it wouldn't be too bad for him. Anybody got any ideas? Because remember, he's affiliated with Top Rank, and I don't know.
Hey, everybody in the chat, hit the motherfucking like button.
Thank you, Robert.
I don't know what the heavyweight stable looks like at Top Rank, other than Ajogba and Jared Anderson.
Big baby, son. That's what it looks like, and that's all you need.
Jared
Washington.
That
would be interesting. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Dillian White's way too early for Dillian White.
Well, and Dillian White's got he's got a bunch of legal trouble right now. He may never be able to fight again, so who knows?
What's going on with him?
Well,
he failed all those PED tests.
Remember, before he's supposed to fight Joshua. So,
yeah.
You know? So, I don't know. Washington could be interesting if he's not too old overnight.
I think he is a shot fighter.
Yeah.
But he's got a name, and I want to see if Torres, like I said, how does he deal with it? Does Torres get him out of there?
Yeah, well, what about Charles Martin? Would that be too much, Eric?
Not a bad one.
I don't know. It might be. Charles Martin he's not a bad fighter. Charles Martin is a good fighter, man. Charles Martin is a very good fighter. Former world champion, by the way.
Of course.
He was completely demolished by Jared Anderson. Completely demolished.
Was.
All right. All right, Robert, we're going to get running here, man. I'm going to go ahead and put
we'll
you on hold.
You.
Give him the hook.
All right, man.
Give him the hook.
Stop it. What's the matter with you, Deed? All right. 805, California, and then we're going to go to Jerry. I believe Jerry's on the line. 805, you're live.
Hey, Eric. Nice to have you back, especially after Maestro pretty much looked like he took your job last week.
Oh, no, he did a great job last week, man.
Yeah,
thank you, though.
He did. Yeah. Just really quick, I'm glad that Beeb has actually admitted that he is a completely low-down, degenerate boxing fan, that he would actually admit to buying that miserable pay-per-view last night of these misfits.
I was shocked.
Yeah, I'll give him credit. He actually admitted it. He admitted it yesterday on Twitter that he was about to get clowned by the rest of us for buying that horrible pay-per-view, but at least he admitted it. So I'm pretty happy about it.
That he bought it or
guilty.
That he tried to defend it?
Guilty.
I think the fact he tried to defend it.
Stop it.
Exactly.
Stop it.
That he tried to defend that miserable card is unbelievable. But
yeah.
Anyway.
My man, Nate, he's the goods. Stop it.
My mate, Nate, man, I'm a fan. My mate, Nate, I'm a fan.
My mate, Nate. So what's up with Janabek? Is he the best middleweight out there?
I mean, honestly, he has to be only by default because at this point, the division looks awful, Eric. I mean, he beat the title holder in Galtieri who, I mean, to be honest, what I saw last night, I'm shocked he even had a belt because that did not look like a guy who legitimately tried to come in and win that fight. He looked like a guy who basically was trying to survive in there and Janabek just basically ended up taking him out. But my God, the middleweight division is in bad shape right now. You got a lot of old guys like Arislandi Lara hanging around. You got guys like Charlo haven't fought in over 2 years. I mean, yeah, only by default.
Champion? I don't understand that. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
wasn't Mendoza
the interim WBC champion?
No, that's at 54, though.
That's 54. That's right, Charlo.
Yeah, the Charlo.
That's right.
The Charlo the Charlo that has the belt at 60, the interim champ is Carlos Adames. So, I mean, he might be the only guy in the division that might actually be able to challenge Janet Beck at this point, because I don't really see a whole hell of a lot in the division that it can. So, yeah.
I think Adames is a good fighter.
Yeah, he might be the only real threat in that division at this point, because there's not a whole lot in that division to talk about. So, you know, Keyshawn Davis, I was surprised that the judges scored that fight the way they did. I thought Davis dominated the majority of that fight. And the fact that they scored it the way they did, I was like, whoa, like, what the hell were these guys watching? Like, yeah, that wasn't the same fight that I watched. Albright had a couple of rounds at the end where, you know, he laid a couple of really good shots on Davis and hurt him a little bit. But for the most part, I thought Davis won that fight. You could have made the case minimum 7-3 or even 8-2. That's why when I heard 95-95, I was like, wow. Like, that's just crazy. But, yeah, so, I mean, he won, so he moves on. But honestly, they're moving him up pretty quickly against guys who are experienced and have fought certain names. I mean, they're going to have to start looking to fight him against guys like in the top, you know, 30 or top 20, like moving forward, because you can't really take a step back from the guys he's been fighting lately. So if they think he's the goods, they're going to have to keep matching him tougher and tougher. So I'm just curious to see how good he really is once they start matching him against a tougher guy.
Him look better than he did last night. I've seen him look better than he did last night. But the guy he was fighting last night was okay. But again, I didn't think the fight was close.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I'm really, I hope, again, but Top Rank's really, they're usually pretty good about moving people. You know, they really are. They're usually pretty good about moving people at the right speed. So, you know, if this was any other organization, I'd be, you know, you kind of wince or whatever when they talk about moving them up. But Top Rank usually knows what they're doing with stuff like that.
Yeah, they could.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm sure they'll find the right guy that they think Davis could, you know, put on his record and look good against, for sure. The Showtime card, Zhu won that fight. I honestly thought that he won that fight going away in the second half. I thought the first half of the fight was close. Yeah. I thought that Mendoza kind of was sticking and moving, and he did a couple of things in there that frustrated Zhu a little bit, and you could kind of see he was having trouble figuring out what he was doing. But then as the fight wore on, he kind of started to, like, time his shots a little bit. He started to rough him up on the inside. He laid some nice right hands and hooks and uppercuts on him. Man, Mendoza has an unbelievable chin, though, because in the 11th round, I thought for sure Zhu was going to get him out of there, and he survived that round, which I was like, wow. I couldn't believe it. But credit to Mendoza.
One judge scored that round
10-8.
I think one judge scored that round 10-8.
That's what had the 11s. Yeah, that's what they had the 11s on there versus the 12s. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
On the line scorecards. So.
So, at this point, Tim Zhu is the man in that division. I, like Beeb said, I doubt Charlo comes back, and I think he's going to end up having to give up the other titles because the IBF is already ordering him to fight a mandatory, and I know he's not going to fight that guy, so that belt is going to disappear.
He ain't fighting that guy.
Yeah, he's not fighting that guy, and then he's not going to probably fight anybody anytime soon with that Canelo payday he just got. He's probably going to be gone for a while before he steps in the ring again. So at this point, I think you guys brought up a good point. Lubin might be the biggest name out there, and if that's the next fight, I don't mind that fight at all, just to see kind of what Lubin has left and how really good Tim Zhu is, moving forward. Just one last point really quick, guys. I don't think a lot of people knew, but Miguel Burchell actually was on the Golden Boy DAZN card last night.
Read about this. Yeah, I didn't want to put it on there because it was just kind of, who was he fighting? You know, it was
like
a comeback fight for him.
Yeah,
he's
fought a state busy fight
lost,
and he beat the guy that he beat. But to be honest, the guy he beat isn't not a world beater. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what they're doing with him. But yeah, I just thought it was kind of interesting that he went back out there.
Yeah, I saw that too. That he won the, that he won his fight or whatever. I was surprised he won. To be honest with you, I was surprised he went the distance. It was a distance fight, wasn't it? If I'm not mistaken.
No, no, he stopped the guy.
Oh, did he? Okay.
He stopped the guy.
When?
Yeah, yeah, he stopped the guy. Oh, he, it was a blowout. He knocked him out in three rounds. But the guy he was fighting,
yeah, it was
wasn't
definitely
a
get
know.
Back fight. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
it was a definitely you know, set up fight for sure. But for
Washed.
He's not coming back. He ain't coming back.
I mean,
all right, man.
I've seen crazier things, Eric. you never know.
You and me both.
Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly.
All right, Nacho,
all right,
we're gonna get running, man. Thank you so much for the call. Yeah. 410-410 Jerry, Baltimore. In the house,
Bird,
Jerry.
Big Bird. What's up, Eric?
What's happening, man?
Welcome back, brother. I see you went to the beauty
salon. Thank you, sir. Thank you. That's right. That's right. That's what I did. It didn't work, but, you know.
What's up, dweeb?
Dweeb. How you doing, brother?
Pretty good, brother. Pretty good. You know, he's got a lot to say. Let me get started with Tim Tszyu. I was supremely impressed with Tim Tszyu last night. Fights like that are just absolutely crucial to a young fighter's development. Different night, different fight. Ocampo, he felt like he could make a statement against a walkthrough. That's what he did. Harrison, he boxed and competed with Harrison until he seen a chance to take him out. That's what he did. Last night, he fought a dangerous, strong opponent who's been on, what was it, a three-fight streak, cleaning up KOs, putting fighters out of business. And Tszyu went in there, he showed patience, he showed poise, he wasn't overconfident or over-anxious, and wind up himself being the next clean-up KO victim. He's got a lot going for him, and I just thought that was a brilliant performance. It wasn't the fight that many of us might have anticipated it to be, knowing that both of them are punchers and stuff, but we've seen that before, you know. Sometimes you get the victory. You know, I thought he looked good. He had him hurt a couple times, bad. I wasn't able to really finish him, but like the last caller said, man, give a lot of props to his opponent, man. I mean, the guy's very tough. He's a very good fighter, Tszyu said after the fight, you know, he said he's just below me, and I would agree, you know.
There you go. Who's next for Tszyu? Well, who do you think is next for Tszyu, realistically?
Well, I mean, listen, man. I mean, I'm a Bud Crawford fan, right? I've always liked Bud. Fine, good, great, and good. But I'm going to be honest with you. To me, Bud Crawford is a Hall of – he's got a Hall of Fame accomplishment, but he doesn't have a Hall of Fame resume. I'm on that side of the fence with Bud. I'm not discrediting him. It's not that I don't like him. It's just when I look at his resume, I don't see really any great fighters. The closest thing I see to a modern-day great is Spence, and he whooped Spence. No problem there, but
yeah.
I don't understand why Crawford, he's like, I'm not going to fight Keith Thurman. I'm not going to fight Boots Ennis. I don't want to fight Jermell Charlo. Throw Danny Garcia in there. I've never heard him mention Tim Tszyu. Now, he's got that WBO welterweight title. He could apparently make a fight for the 54-pound title against Tszyu, but I've never heard him mention
it.
Well, I guess, but
it's a lot of risk for not a lot of reward. I mean, it really is. I mean, he's not going to get paid a whole lot of money. Well, for Crawford, he's not going to get paid a lot of money to fight Tim Tszyu. He's not going to get that kind of money. The kind of money he's looking for is Charlo money. He's looking for Spence money. He's not going to get that.
I'm going to tell you right now, man, if he fights Tszyu, he's going to get more money than he would get for fighting Charlo. Charlo has no fans, period. And he's coming off a dismal performance where he didn't even apply himself at all. Tim Tszyu is a superstar in Australia. And Australia has shown they don't produce a lot of world champions, but when they do, the whole country's behind them, and the government will even get involved to finance their fights like they did with Jeff Horn and Pacquiao, Kambosos. That's the only big payday near Bud Crawford, because outside of Canelo, there is no. Crawford says, I want big fights and big pay. The problem is there is none. There's none. There's a fighter three weight classes below Tank, and that fight's not going to happen. And there's a fighter three weight classes above Canelo, and that the fight's not going to happen. Canelo has said several times Bud Crawford's not in his plans. So what's left for Bud Crawford? After he rules everybody else out, Tim Tszyu is the biggest payday and the best fight for him and probably the easiest one to make because he has that WBO title. But he hadn't mentioned the guy. Yeah. Now, to be honest, I would say it's a little early for Tszyu. You know, I think he needs a little more experience. However, you know, if you ask me who he should fight next, I would say Charlo. But I just haven't. Charlo doesn't seem to have the energy to want to fight him. I don't know.
Yeah, it is, I don't blame him.
Let me ask you both a question. Who's better, Tim or Kostya?
I think Tim is better. Tim has better defensive
skills.
Tim is
more sound?
Well, let
me
just
better.
Say
this. Yeah, I think he's more skilled.
Yeah, he's more skilled. Let me just say this. He hasn't had time yet to accomplish what his father accomplished, and rare is it the case that the father, you know, or the sons are better. We've seen Hector Camacho Jr. wasn't close to his dad. Chavez Jr. wasn't close to his dad. But Tszyu has the same great attributes as his father. He's a puncher. He's got a great chin. He's got good stamina. But his dad used to get hit with every punch. I mean, every punch. He would just hold his arms out in front of him and walk you down. And for six rounds, fighters would literally exhaust themselves beating on, you know, punching him, but only the bravest stuck around for the second half where he would eat their lunch. But Tim is far better defensively. He thinks more, and he has the same attributes, like I say, but skill-wise, I think he's better than his dad. No problem. He's a little bigger than his dad also. I think he's got a bright future in that division, and what I've seen last night was a maturity fight. It was that's the type of fights fighters need. You know, this guy, what's his name? I'm forgetting. Mendoza is his opponent. I've seen his last couple of fights, man. He's been putting people out of business. You know what I mean? And he was trying. He was trying as best he could. It's just every time he tried to get off a little bit, he could hit with something that would kind of make him, you know, like, man, shit, this guy is a really hard punch. You know what I mean? But there wasn't running. There wasn't clinching, excessive clinching. It wasn't the fight I think some of us thought it might maybe would be in anticipation. But it was a good fight nonetheless and a good win for Tszyu. So, yeah, I'd like to see him fight Charlo, get those undisputed titles. And then beyond that, you know, whatever he does. I mean, junior middleweight, not looking so good nowadays, just like middleweight. They're a little bit dry right now. So Tszyu has an excellent chance to really establish himself as the top guy, you know, the real top guy there. Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with
that. Well, if Virgil Ortiz goes up to 154 and Terrence Crawford goes up to 154, and eventually Boots goes up there too, pretty decent division. Has potential anyway.
Yeah,
but Virgil, there's a big question mark around Virgil. I love Virgil Ortiz. He's beast in the ring, but
that's true.
We know his problems are well documented, so we just don't know about him.
That's true.
And Crawford's already said he doesn't want to fight Boots in this for some reason. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
And Crawford hasn't officially moved to 54 himself. I got a feeling Bud Crawford's going to fight Spence again, and a retirement is coming shortly thereafter. Because he's already – the PBC only signed him for – yeah, they only signed him for two fights, right? And he's already said he doesn't want to fight their fighters. He doesn't want to fight Boots. He doesn't want to fight Keith. He doesn't want to fight Jermell. I mean, what the fuck? You know, so why would they – what's the initiative for them to sign him any further than that? They signed him to fight Spence and then to fight Spence in a rematch. If they had any really real interest in him, they would have signed him to a 3, 4, or 5 fight deal. But they just signed him for those two fights. And since then, he's saying he doesn't want to fight any of the fighters. And I'm disgruntled with Bud Crawford. He's on some diva shit right now, if you ask me. He says he wants to fight 3 more times. He's the pound-for-pound number one guy. So, dude, if that's what you want to do, but if you intend to fight another Avenesian or a Green Bean, I'm not paying for that. And lastly, when it comes to these pay-per-views, I hate to say because, like I'm a 40-year fight fan. Plus, the pay-per-views are getting out of control, man. When you got a DAZN subscription and a Showtime subscription, that Devin Haney just fight, it should be a subscription paid for fight for DAZN subscribers. That's what it should be. And same thing with Benavidez and Andrade. If you got a Showtime subscription, that fight should be part of that package, not $80 pay-per-view. Boxing's getting too expensive for me, man. I got all kinds of other shit to pay for.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway.
All right, Jerry, we're going
to
get running. Thanks so much for the call, man. We appreciate it, man. Thank you. You know, you brought up a good point with the pay-per-views. They are getting out of control, and this has been the biggest year for boxing that I can remember in a long, long, long time. We've had a lot of them, you know. But you got UFC pay-per-views. You got boxing pay-per-views. And, I mean, you know, that's a lot of money. I think one of the UFCs, like, $75-$80 already. You know,
they're getting up there now.
They're
too,
getting
right?
up there, absolutely. You know, they're getting up there too. So yeah, man, I don't know. They're
crazy.
Yeah.
Too much.
Way too much. And you know, what gets me is they're like subpar pay per views. You know? Let's go to the news here. The Benavidez Andrade fight. They assigned David Benavidez and Bubu Andrade November 25th on pay per view. That's not a pay-per-view fight. It's not. It's just not. That's not a pay-per-view fight.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't happy with that.
I can't imagine anybody's happy with that. Who's going to be happy to pay for that fight? Really?
What's a better fight to you, Benavidez, Andre, or Devin Haney versus Regis Prograis?
Haney Prograis is a better fight.
I would agree. And people are even saying that's not a pay-per-view fight either, because that's going to be on pay-per-view as well.
And listen. Don't get me wrong. The Benavidez-Andrade fight, it's a very good fight.
It's a good fight.
Solid fight. Yeah. Solid fight. But pay-per-view worthy? No. No, not even a little bit.
I agree.
Takuma Inoue versus Jerwin Anakahas on November 15th in Japan. I can't wait for that fight. I cannot wait. That is an awesome fight, man. That is
and
an
guess
awesome
what?
Fight.
You don't have to pay for that one.
Right.
And that's a good one.
Right.
You see the difference?
Exactly.
No good fight.
Marlon Topalis and Naoya Inoue is being set for December 26th in Japan.
And that's a free one, too.
That is an amazing fight. That's a
great fight.
Unification for all the marbles. Four belts
undisputed.
On the line.
Yeah.
Undisputed.
That's free.
122 pounds. You cannot ask for more. You cannot ask for more than that. This week, the WBA denied Daniel Dubois' appeal. The WBA told him to kick rocks. Denied. Dubois was protesting the fact that the knockdown in the Usyk fight was called a low blow. Listen, guys, it was a low blow. All right? It just was. Steve, you agree with that?
I'm done with it, man.
You agree with it? So is the WBA. They said it's done, too. They said they're done,
A part of the Fury Maniacs, we're getting undisputed. We don't care about the law right now. Unfortunately, that ship has sailed. Now we're focusing on Usyk.
There you go. This is interesting. This is real interesting. And it's from the UFC, all right? The UFC has split with USADA.
Yeah.
Did you see that this week? Quote from USADA, USADA's the one that dropped them, and I know the UFC is very salty about it and everything like that. The quote from USADA was, "We do not currently know whether the UFC will ultimately honor the six-month or longer agreement." They're talking about Conor McGregor here. USADA will no longer be involved with the UFC anti-doping program. The UFC did an about-face and informed USADA on October 9 that it was going in a different direction. There you go. And the whole thing comes from Conor McGregor. They want to put him in, and again, he's got to be in that pool for 6 months. Well, he wasn't in the pool. He was supposed to get in. They did that Ultimate Fighter. Him and the other guy did that Ultimate Fighter. They were supposed to fight each other. Never happened.
Never
happened. So it's like, you know, and he was supposed to get in there. Go ahead and, you know, get everything done and get into the pool and everything like that. And he didn't. Why? Because he's on drugs. Because he's on steroids. Look at him. You know he's on drugs.
Yeah. they also said that because he could fight without being in the pool for 6 months, but he has to go through two tests before the fight.
Right.
And he didn't want to do that.
He didn't want to do that either. Why? Because he's doping.
Even Joe Rogan was kind of hinting at it that hey, he looks like he's juiced to the gills.
Of course he's juiced to the gills. Have you seen him?
Yeah.
You see his early fights and you look at him now?
Yeah, he doesn't look the same.
He's a big dude, you know. He looks like a big guy to me, you know.
To him, getting the good stuff.
Yeah, right? He's getting that trend. Getting that trend going.
That's shit money could buy, right? What's wrong with that?
Yeah, right. There you go. Except he's got a test for it now, you know. So,
yeah.
And the theory is that UFC 300, I think UFC 295 will be at the end of the year in December. And that's going to be a good one with Kobe Covington and that other British dude is on there. I think they're fighting in Britain, if I'm not mistaken, but I don't know. But that's going to be a good card, too. So you got five more, and then it's UFC 300. So, you know, you want the big names for 300. I imagine John Jones is going to be there. Conor McGregor is going to be there. And they're
guess
not going to risk anything stupid happening.
Guess who they're going to be using moving forward?
Who?
That company, Drug Free Sport. What's her name there?
Who?
Lisa Bumgarn. Drug Free Sport was the organization that Eddie Hearn used for the Alicia Bumgarner fight when she popped out positive. Her test.
Out of Kansas City, Missouri?
I think they're out of Kansas City, yeah.
Yeah, Drug Free Sport International out of Kansas City, Missouri, yeah.
Yeah.
Partnership, yeah. UFC creates its own drug testing program in the wake of the split, yep. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So here's the thing, man. When you work with Drug Free Sport, the UFC is going to do the adjudication, and they're going to get the results directly given to them, and they're going to have more control over the situation, which is maybe what they wanted in the first place, right?
Listen, man. You got a big card. You got millions in promotion. Tickets, everything like that, the last thing you want is to see a guy go down for drugs. That's it.
Right.
And if you got control of the situation, you can manipulate timelines after the fight. We can say he was juicing or whatever the case may be, whatever.
Yeah. Let's get this one over the line. Yo, well, I was listening to Francis Ngannou on Joe Rogan.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know this, but when you sign a contract with the UFC, it's for a time period. It doesn't guarantee you a specific amount of fights. So you could be on the contract.
But I think they do offer you fights. The way it was explained to me is that they do offer you fights, but you have to take the fights.
If you don't take the fight, guess what happens? They add 6 months to your contract. That's what Francis was saying.
Wow. That I didn't know.
And then, if you don't take the fight, they could freeze you. Like, they could freeze you out and let your contract expire, and you can miss out on fights. They don't. In other words, you're not guaranteed fights. Like with boxing, they sign you to fight deals. They don't sign you to time period deals.
Yeah.
They sign you to fight deals. UFC doesn't do it that way. According to Francis Ngannou, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I agree with him. If that's what he said, I mean, he's there. Why is he going to lie about it? Even when he walked away from millions, you know, from the UFC, offered him a lot of money. And he said no.
Yeah.
I mean, they were going to make him like one of the highest paid dudes ever.
I guess they're saying that he's going to be the highest paid heavyweight of all time.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
No one's going to get paid more than Conor McGregor, but he probably would have been like number in the top five at least.
Yeah.
And I think McGregor made a lot, and what's his name? The George St. Pierre used to make a lot of money.
You know who made it? Ronda Rousey. Made a ton of money.
She made good money. Yeah, yep. She made good money. John Jones makes good money, but I don't think he makes money like I don't think he comes close to Conor.
When is John Jones and Stipe fighting?
I don't know.
Let's see here. November 11th, UFC 295.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah, November 11th, yep.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
I like John Jones in that one.
I like John Jones too, but Stipe's from Ohio, so I'm
Are you gonna be pulling for Stipe?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, plus it's good to pull for the underdog sometimes too.
Yeah, I think that Jones is just on another level, man.
He's incredible.
He's another guy that that's taken time off and come back, and he's you're like, man, this guy is still the best in the world.
He's just a natural talent, bro.
Yeah, he's insane. So there you go. All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on X or Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73. And, guys, we will catch you next week.